The interviews and discussions on this podcast are opinions only and not financial or investment advice. Listeners should obtain independent advice based on their own circumstances before making any financial decisions. Hello there, I'm your host Peter Strachan. Welcome to Stockhead's Rock Yarn. ADX Energy had an eventful March and April this year. The Welchow exploration program made a petroleum discovery in carbonate formations with shows and indications of gas and condensate and possibly oil at depth. While in its Italian permit offshore Sicily, they saw a moratorium lifted on exploration for gas, withholding potential there to allow for development of the 34 million barrel nilled oil field down the track. Here to bring us up to date with these results, along with exploration and development plans for the rest of the year, is the company's executive chairman, Ian Chaikos. Welcome, Ian. You must be very pleased with progress in Upper Austria. Can I ask you briefly to outline what's been found at Welchow carbonate petroleum discovery now?
Hi, Peter, and it's a pleasure to be with you. Yeah, so far we've intersected 450 metres of gas shows in essentially three different reservoir types. One of those reservoir types, the Steinarm Formation, also produced gas back in 1989 when OMV made the Mollen discovery. So it's until we test this, I mean, what we do know is we definitely have gas and condensate, and there may even be some signs of oil as well at the bottom of the lower zone, but we won't know for certain until we test, because we have recovered all three. But if you ask me to bet on it, I'd say we've got a very condensate rich gas reservoir.
Yeah, which is what was found at Mollen. So what are the plans for testing in October? What are you going to do there?
Yeah, essentially we're looking to test three zones. So we'll go in there with a workover rig. And the nice thing about Austria is you can test these things for a long period of time. So come October, when we're back into, if you like, our operational period, we should be testing for probably up to 1 to 2 months.
Oh, okay. It'll be great. So what comes next at Welchow? Is that going to be follow-up? I noticed you're talking about deepening the well in the quarterly report, or also positioning a second sort of appraisal well.
Yeah, so I guess what we're trying to set ourselves up for is to get the permits so we can deepen the well, which we already can do under our existing permits, but also look for further locations. Because if the well produces as we expect it to, then we'd be wanting to get further into appraisal as quickly as possible. But probably the next thing we'll see is an assessment of, if you like, what the drilling data has told us and the logging data and the core data in terms of an updated resource for Welchow, followed up with testing, and then hopefully we'd be able to also deepen the well, because it's about potentially 1,500 metres of sediments underneath the existing wellbore, and we were still getting gas shows at the bottom.
Yeah, so you're in Europe where the price of gas is pretty favourable. What's the possible progress towards production, and how's the Austrian gas market at the moment for product you might produce from Welchow?
Yeah, I mean, Austria is in a very difficult situation right now. Last year, over 65% of their gas came from Russia, and the EU is trying to totally eliminate their dependence on Russian gas. So, you know, we can sell every molecule that we'd like to into Austria, but also there's a lot of interest elsewhere for gas if this is a substantial discovery. So selling gas will be the least of our problems. We just need to do it actually in a way that certainly doesn't upset the Austrian government.
And you've got about a 15-17 kilometre pipeline run to get into the grid, national grid.
Yeah, look, we've got two pipeline options: a low pressure grid, which would be good if you like, for producing condensate, and if you like, associated gas, and then a high pressure grid, which is basically an open access pipeline that can either get us into the industrial areas within Austria or also backhaul into Europe.
So how long after this test program in October do you expect sort of a recalibration on the size of Wellchow? Because I think it was something like 800 odd BCF equivalent as a prospective resource. Now it's it'll become a sort of conditional resource or reserve. What's the sort of time frame once you get that data in October, November?
Yeah, look, I think we'll be able to move fairly quickly because obviously we've got all the logging results, et cetera. So I think probably within a month or two, we'll be able to come up with an internal estimate. But probably also what we'd like to do is get a third-party review because what we'd expect is a upgrade of the, if you like, the contingent resource for the entire structure, but also potentially a reserve because which will obviously be subject to the drilling of additional wells and the installation of a pipeline.
So ADX is what, 75% in this discovery?
That's correct.
Yeah. And what are the brokers saying about the valuation of, you know, the, you know, sort of your target for gas in Europe?
Oh, look, I mean, a UK broker is sort of, you know, valuing Wellchow at about 10 times our current market capitalization. But of course, as you know, these things are pretty heavily discounted as you move through the whole appraisal program. So we're hoping that once we test this, it'll move into something that starts to reflect some value in our share price. But even if we look at the lowest estimate, we're looking at something, you know, at about 300 BCF, even of dry gas, which we know it won't be. But that was actually a resource estimate that actually Gaffney Klein had. That was the low-case Gaffney Klein estimate. It's probably worth around 300 million euros NPV to us. So it's you know, substantial value.
For a company with a market cap of 50 million Australian. And I noticed in the Perth Basin recently a similar thing where effectively contingent gas resources were being traded for $2 Australian a gigajoule. So you can draw a line through that, and it's a fairly valuable upside for the company. So just on Italy, so out of the blue, or I guess after 6 years of waiting, the Italian government has said that your permit offshore Sicily can now be used as an exploration target, and you've outlined a number of gas prospects in this permit.
Yeah, I mean, some time ago they turned around and said, well, look, you can explore here, but it has to be for gas, not oil, because there was a directive that oil exploration was going to be limited. So we worked through a process of financial and technical capability, and that we finally got the green light on that. But also in February, that, if you like, directive was overturned in court. So we expect now to revert back to the 2018 legislation, which would then allow us to potentially develop or redevelop a brownfields project of around 34 million barrels of contingent resource, plus a number of other discoveries, actually. So yeah, look, it's certainly come out of the blue. But I think, obviously, the Conservative government there, led by Milani, has actually reset Italy, and we're starting to see some of the benefits of that.
Yeah, so there'd be a sort of hub-and-spoke development there on Nilda because, as you say, there are some smaller sort of 2-3 million-barrel-type fields nearby, and you sort of have a floating storage and offtake and do it that way.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
So before this moratorium was instigated, ADX was well down the track with a potential farm-in partner. Now, you've got 100% of this permit at the moment. I suppose you've been on the phone to your partner there to say, look, you know, you're still interested in farming in?
Yeah, look, we have. I think what we're waiting to see and what we've heard is that there's no intention by the designated authority in Italy to challenge, if you like, the court ruling. Once we hear that, then we're getting interest from a variety of different parties now, not only potential farmanees, but also, if you like, potential, companies that can provide FPSOs, et cetera, that would be enable us to take this project forward. So, look, we definitely would be looking for partners to do this. We'd want to remain the operator and, if you like, the subsurface operator, but we'd like to share some of the risk and obviously the funding going forward.
Yeah, so these wells, that when it was first developed, floated like 10,000 barrels of oil a day. And I think you're looking at a sort of horizontal development situation with wells there, which really you could sort of drain that 34 million barrels in 5 years. And it would be, I'd imagine, the net present value of that oil would be about at least a euro per barrel.
Yeah, look, definitely, it's potentially very highly profitable. It's a very light, sweet crude, and as I say, those reservoirs are probably some of the most productive reservoirs in the Mediterranean. That's what really attracted us to the opportunity in the first place. So, yeah, three wells, you could produce this thing at probably over 20,000 barrels a day. So, it could be a very highly profitable project. I'd say you'd probably be looking at more like three or four. US a barrel for something like that. And also, one good thing about Italy is their royalty rate's actually quite low. So the fiscal terms are excellent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, bigger fields, I guess, you know, you're looking at 10 or 15 US dollars a barrel on a net present value basis. So it gives you a sort of a high and a low level. With the back in Austria, you've also drilled an appraisal well at Anschoff and found, you know, the shape of the structure is a little bit different from what the seismic was telling you. You're now looking at a sidetrack of that well, and that's going to happen, what, in the fourth quarter of this year and hopefully boost Anschoff's production early into 2025.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, what we did find was it was actually quite a substantial pull-up, but we also found about four times the reservoir that we had encountered in Anschoff 3 and high-quality reservoir. So we're planning to go up-dip from that location, utilising that existing well slot, which we hope will give us a very highly productive well. That should be drilled first thing off the bat, probably either September or October. We've got a rig coming back in, which would drill that well, and then would also follow up and drill an exploration well, a farming well with M&D, so a gas exploration well that would be funded by M&D, our farmanee, in the ADX AT1 area. So we'll have quite an active program going forward, both for oil, further gas, as well as the testing of well chart.
Yeah, so you're certainly not going to be strapped for news flow. The in your presentations, Ian, you've spoken about this IRR prospect. I think it's about 155 billion cubic feet in prospective gas. Is that the one that you're thinking of targeting, or are you going to go for one of these smaller, sort of high productive targets that might be sort of 10, 15, 20 BCF of gas?
Yeah, look, our preference is to drill IRR because
internal rate of return.
IRR, yes. and look, we're kind of a little bit sneaky because I guess we don't want communities to panic when they see our prospect names. But we're going through a very kind of good process about in relation to permitting that prospect for drilling. And the nice thing about that prospect is it's adjacent to a large historic discovery. So we can see, if you like, the same seismic attributes as was experienced in that discovery. But the other nice thing is we're only a few kilometres away from infrastructure. So, yeah, that is our candidate. And these sorts of prospects have got, you know, a relatively high chance of success, though we're very keen to drill it.
Yeah, that 3D seismic, the AVO anomalism, is really a giveaway for gas in this location. And it looks so much similar to the neighbouring prospect. So, you know, with the gas prices in Europe at sort of $10, $12 US around about, that's going to be quite interesting and quick to market, do you think, Ian?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, look, as I said, we wouldn't have any issues. So, in fact, you know, even now, we just sell solution gas as spot. So I think, you know, marketing gas in Austria has never been an issue. I think the bigger issue now is that there will be, you know, some larger industrial players would be very keen to shore up security of supply. So obviously it's going to be a good thing to do that in the right way, because then that provides, you know, greater government support for our ongoing activities.
Yeah, and you've got high equities in these permits, so you still have the ability there to farm in players who see the same sort of commercial opportunity that you do.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, we've been successfully farming out sort of prospects or groups of prospects. By the large part, the majority of our equity position is still held at 100%. And what's important is we also created a partnership structure, which was endorsed by the Austrian government, which then enables us to bring other parties into, you know, future prospects very easily.
Yeah. So if you were in your best guess, by March of next year, you're currently producing, I think it's about 180 barrels a day from the eastern permits, and you've got another 140, 150 a day coming out of Anchov, which you have 80% interest. At the end of the year or early into next year, what do you think that oil production will have risen to? What are you hoping from sidetrack?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, the Vienna Basin fields, we've done some work, so we sort of got back to its kind of normal potential levels, which is somewhere between 220 to 250 barrels a day. But we expect that the next well should have, you know, three or four times the productivity of Anchov. So that should take us up to about 500 barrels a day from Anchov. And then we'd be looking to drill a further Anchov well, given now we have a permanent facility there that can do up to 3,000 barrels a day. So, look, we'll be going on, you know, two trajectories, obviously gas exploration, but then obviously trying to build our oil production rate up to deliver more cash flow.
Yeah, to up to 1,000 barrels a day. And so with the Mullen well, which was a deeper well but in the same structure, shows the extent of that gas, you know, from where you are at 1,600, 1,700 metres down to over 4,000. That flowed at 4 million cubic feet a day with 20 barrels of condensate. What's your hope for the flow rate that you might be able to get on test at the Welchow 1 well?
Yeah, look, we're sort of hoping that we'll get somewhere in the, you know, the 5 to 10 million a day range. I mean, unfortunately, the Mullen well was actually drilled as an oil well, so it was left open for a long time before they came back and tested it. They also didn't acidise it, so they probably didn't get the full potential there. Whereas we've treated Welchow with much more care, but we'll be opening up, you know, potentially up to three zones. So that's what we'd hope to get as an aggregate. But the other nice thing is, because the well was relatively cheap to drill, you know, if we can get sort of 5 to 10 million a day per well, then, you know, we've got an economic project. So but, you know, there's potential, say, with horizontal wells to do a lot better than that.
Yeah. Well, it's a highly fractured sort of reservoir. And once you get to know the angle of the fractures, our drilling across them is going to potentially provide much greater flow rates than 5 or 10, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely right, and that's always the sort of games that you can play with these reservoirs, optimizing your well trajectory. So that's the opportunity to, I mean, also because it's a carbonate reservoir, also acidizing these wells can make a big difference. So there's obviously a lot of optimization that comes, through the appraisal and development of a reservoir like this. But I guess what's so encouraging for us is that there's a lot of net reservoir there to play with. As we've been able to see from the cores, it is very highly fractured, and not only is it highly, we've got a good fracture density, but it looks like the fractures are open, which is really important. So what we need to do is establish what is the matrix, if you like, permeability that will ultimately flow into these fractures, and what's going to be, if you like, the sustainable sort of production. So that's really what we're going to try and find out from
the initial permeability is going to be massive if it's just these open fractures. Ian, you're not short of things to keep you busy over the next 12 or 18 months with drilling two or three wells and testing the well chow and farm out negotiations and the various other negotiations about NILD and what that might mean for funding going forward. So thanks for coming into Stockhead's Rockyarn today and giving us an update. That's very exciting. I look forward to having you in later in the year.
All the best. Thank you very much, Peter, and we'll stay in touch.